Well, the season, again, of kingdom tithe. It's not observed in a lot of churches, but it's part of the Pentecost season. And the Pentecost season, of course, is the fire of the Holy Spirit. We have still that symbol over on one of the banners of the Spirit descending. And on the day of Pentecost, it settled upon the apostles like fire, you know. And the season of kingdom tithe comes about halfway through the season of Pentecost, and it's about what Pentecost has done to spread God's kingdom. It's not just about us. Probably, we need about half that time to deal with our own hearts, and then the other half of the time to try to reach out to the world with the message that God has given to us through Christ. But the season of kingdom tithe falls within Pentecost for a special reason, and that is because kingdom tithe celebrates the growth of the church through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit that was poured out at Pentecost before Christ's second advent, which will be the next season that we celebrate. Without the power of Pentecost, without the power of the Holy Spirit filling and motivating kingdom people, the gospel doesn't spread and the kingdom doesn't grow. The title for this message is The People of the Kingdom. And for kingdom growth to happen, there must be something different about the people of the kingdom. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit in us that makes the church able to testify that Christians are a different kind of people of a different kind of kingdom. And that should be our testimony. So what is it about Christians that should be our testimony? What is it about Christians that the world needs or maybe wants, but doesn't know that it wants, but it does need it? And according to our text, there are several things. Christians are a people of thanksgiving. And I'm only going to take a couple of verses out of that passage we read in Colossians, just verse 12, 13, and 14. And in verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father. For Christians, Thanksgiving Day is every day. You know, we have Thanksgiving Day once a year, but for Christians, it's all year long. It should be. Our main ritual, our celebration of the Holy Communion, is also called Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving. So when we celebrate Eucharist, when we celebrate the Holy Communion, we are celebrating Thanksgiving. And Jesus gave thanks as he was lifting up, and he was giving thanks for his own life being offered up. Gratitude is a healthy thing. And there have been studies done to show how that gratitude actually improves your immune system. Western medicine, I've been learning a lot about the differences of Western medicine and Eastern medicine. Eastern, like in Chinese medicine, which is becoming more popular now in the United States. But Western medicine says our bodies are physical and spiritual, but the Western medicine says, oh, it's just the physical. It's all chemicals. It's just a chemical reaction. It doesn't take into account that there's a soul, there's a spirit. And actually, Chinese medicine says, no, the soul and the spirit are intertwined. And that's actually more Christian, if you think about it. It's a more Christian attitude. And we do have a lamentation of the two, or a lamination of the two together, so that one affects the other. So when we are grateful, when our hearts are grateful, it blesses our bodies. We can't help it. It brings out the endorphins, and the endorphins just bless our bodies. And people feel better, and they live better when they are grateful. There's a few people that I've met that are over 100 years old. And the ones that I have met have always been grateful people. You know, I think that it has blessed their immune system, just like it says in the studies. Gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. And when that attitude of gratitude is verbalized, when we express it, then it has a refreshing effect on the environment. Whatever the people that we are around, when we are being grateful, that attitude establishes an atmosphere of gratitude. And people begin to think of things, you know, that they should be grateful for. And they stop looking at the other ways. A lot of times, the atmosphere is not a pleasant atmosphere around us because the sound is not grateful, but gripeful. full of gripes. and when you have that kind of thing going in your ear, you don't feel good. You go away from it not feeling good. Well, Thanksgiving always has an object. It's what we are thankful for. The object of our gratitude is what God the Father has done for us through Jesus Christ. And what He will do for those who come to Christ, who haven't yet known Him. And that's why we should be a grateful people, advertising that fact. So we're not just a grateful people, we are also a people with a heavenly destiny. And we look in verse 12, the second part, it says, qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Qualified to share in the inheritance of the kingdom, or the saints in the kingdom of light. Now, what makes us qualified for an inheritance in the kingdom of light? What are the qualifications? You know, going to heaven requires some qualification. And quality control is not just something that the American industry has invented, because you hear a lot about quality control. God has always had quality control about who gets to spend eternity with Him. And here it is. Heaven is a holy place. And our qualification for entering that holy place is holiness. We say, wow. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. Now, that's a good thing. And there's other places in Scripture that say that. But along with it, it says, not just to live in peace with all men, but to be holy. To be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wow. Now, what is this effort that we have to make? That's what's important to find out. What is the effort that we have to make? And I have to say that the only effort that humans can make is to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us holy. We can't be holy by trying, by having effort. I want to be holy, and try real, real hard and fail every day because that's what it'll be. If we try real, real hard, we'll fail. But the Holy Spirit is the one in the midst of our failures that can make us holy, that brings us to that kind of holiness. And what it really is, it's an effort, and the effort is this: to learn how to say no to our own wills and learn how to say yes to God's will. That's an effort for a lot of us, you know. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we say, my will is really strong, if you can, take away this cup. You know, Jesus even prayed that. But He said, but not my will, yours be done. And whatever He prayed and whatever He did, it says He did by the power of the Spirit. He was our example. We can do this. We can make this effort. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can help us. Now, being different than the world, it means seeing ourselves in a new light. It means seeing ourselves in a different way, as a separate people. This word holy means separate. It means, in a sense, we are separated into a group. We are becoming a different kind of people. A people is a... We always talk about, this is a people in this land, and you say, this people in this land. Well, that's a group. And we're part of a group. We're a separate group. And this separate group means seeing things different. And we have to say, how do we see things differently? How does that translate? How does being kingdom people translate into a practical lifestyle? How does it translate practically? Well, one of the ways, I say, if we are saints, it says saints or holy, people that are holy, we will avoid unholy activities that are not holy. Here's what Titus says in his second chapter. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Now that's Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14, and it is a wonderful, it is an excellent passage to start the day with. Just to meditate on that passage. That will really help your day to have a good beginning. But how do we keep focused? How do we keep focused on our spiritual inheritance while we live in this mundane, physical world where there's trials and there's situations and incidents and accidents and all kinds of things that throw us off track mentally and get us sidetracked? How do we do it? How do we stay focused? And here it says in Colossians, this is where a little bit before, or at the very beginning of chapter 3, just three verses. Since then you have been raised with Christ. In other words, we have been buried with him in baptism, and we've been raised to him with newness of life. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Being different from the world is difficult when we find ourselves so attached to the world. We're still living as if that's our life. Those attachments are what makes up our life. But that is not our life anymore. Our life has been hidden with Christ in God. And so our answer, when it talks about being buried with him in baptism, being raised to newness of life, it's talking about Christ's cross. It's talking about being crucified with him. And this is what the answer to our question. How do we stay focused? How do we stay detached from the things that want to take our attention away, that want to sidetrack us from living this life as the kingdom people? Our answer is Christ's cross. In Galatians 6:14 it says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." In other words, death is a pretty good separator, and we're supposed to be a separate people. How do we have that happen? It's by the cross of Christ. We say, but that's where forgiveness of sins comes from, and that's true. That the cross is where forgiveness of sins comes from, but it also is the power of living a different life, a separate life, because death, our death to the world, and the world's death to us, actually causes that separation, so that we can be a separate people. And we can live as if we're living a heavenly life right now. And that's really true, because heaven has come down. I love that song. It says, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." You know, that really tells it. That really says it. Because heaven has come down in Christ to be part of us during this lifetime. So yes, we can live a victorious Christian life as the people of God, because heaven has come down and we're living in a new life, because Christ's cross has transforming power. If you join yourself by faith to the crucified Christ and you are part of his death now, he takes you with him through death to this world into a resurrection of life to the new world to come. So we are actually living two lives. You know, I don't know, what was that? I led a dozen lives. What was that song? What was it called?
Three Lives.
I Led Three Lives. Yeah, I Led Three Lives. I remember it was that movie. It was a true story based on a person's life as an FBI person or something. Yeah, a long time ago. Funny that would come back to my mind right now. But no, we live in two worlds. We live in kingdom. We live in the kingdom of God. We live in this kingdom too. And we have to let that light shine in this kingdom so that other people can know that, no, we're a different people. We're a different people because we belong to a different kingdom. We are a people of another realm. We're a people of another realm. Verse 13 says, we've been brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In some translations, his beloved Son. We've been brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, that God has brought us there. Sometimes we need to have reminders that this world, the present shape that it's in, is not really our home. Now, a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be physical and spiritual, that will be our home. But this present world and the shape it's in is not our home. Even the world itself is pretty tired of it. It says that it groans. All creation groans, waiting as in the pains of childbirth until the new kingdom comes. Well, we have that new kingdom in our hearts. And pretty soon, when we get resurrected, we'll have them in our bodies as well. We'll be part of that new heaven and new earth in new bodies. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves, in a sense, in our minds. Just don't get pulled in to the media. Don't get pulled in to things that make this world everything. Sometimes we need reminders that this is not our true home. And we do. Newspaper. You open up a newspaper, you are in a conversation with somebody sometimes, and you meet people or you hear about people who really need to be rescued from darkness. And that's what this verse in verse 13 talks about. Being rescued from darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So what does this rescue from darkness involve? It involves trading worldly blindness for divine vision. There's a blindness in the world, and there's a divine vision that Jesus brings. Satan controls people by blindness. And we're not talking about physical blindness. We're talking about spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And they don't see that they've fallen from God's image. And when they come to Christ, they realize, oh my goodness, I don't have the original image. I need that image back. I need to walk in the image of God. And they find that in Christ. And it involves trading worldly falsehoods for a loyalty to truth. We trade things like, if I had that, I'd be happy, for happiness is the Lord. Remember that song? And we have to trade. We have to make a trade between what we have been saying to say something else. I deserve more for myself. And we trade that for, I can give more to others. You know, that's a different attitude. Or me first for joy. Jesus first, others second, and myself last. You know, or you last, joy. That's the acrostic for joy. We trade worldly ways for Christ-like ways. You know, Christ-like ways, holding up each thing in our lives, each attitude, each habit, and say, is this Christ-like? Is this what Jesus wants in my life? And we hold it up to the light of Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, we can do that, first of all, by praying, communing with Christ in prayer. That's especially listening prayer, where we're actually listening to him. And then, also, by asking this question, what would Jesus do? We often have that banner up. WWJD, what would Jesus do in this situation? If we've been communing with him, if we've been reading the Gospels and seeing how Christ responds to things, we can ask those questions and it helps us a lot. As kingdom people, we know the difference between what the dominion of darkness offers and what we now have in the kingdom of the Son that he loves, because we have become people who know forgiveness. In verse 14 it says, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our redemption was costly to God. Our redemption was very, very costly to God. And redeemed people stay different by remembering this fact through meeting together like we are here in church, having fellowship at other times where you're just talking with one another. Daily prayer, devotional reading, reading the Bible, and especially Holy Communion. Because right there in the liturgy of Holy Communion it says, in remembrance of me. Holy Communion is a blessing, and we need to really think about how important it is that when we come to it, we remember all of these wonderful things and we give thanks. We are that grateful people. Our redemption was costly. And redeemed people are different when they reach out. When they reach out to others. If the price of redemption has already been paid, well, why not share that news with others? I mean, it's already been paid. You don't have to work for salvation. A lot of people are trying to. I'm trying to live a good life. Well, that's great. God wants you to try to live a good life. But you need to be purchased. The purchase price is already paid. Just receive it. It's not about works. It's about grace. It's about a gift. And the special earmark of our redemption is this thing called the forgiveness of sins. How can you tell if a person still feels unforgiven? How can you tell that? You know something? You can tell if a person is unforgiven. If they haven't experienced forgiveness, they really can't give it very well. It's hard for them to forgive others if they've never been forgiven themselves. And the foremost feature that identifies Christians, or that should identify Christians, ought to be their ability to forgive others, because that was what Jesus did from the very cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Without this testimony, the gospel that we try to give to other people falls on stony ground, because we're not really giving the real gospel. The real gospel is about forgiveness, and that's what we've received. We need to have that kind of attitude towards others. Some people are satisfied with the same old. They're satisfied. I'm okay with that. You know? And they don't want something different. But then there are others that they realize that same old hasn't worked. You know, it doesn't work. Same old doesn't work. It just never has worked. And they're looking for something different. Something that will change their lives and bring about a new life for them. And hopefully, they will see in us that Christians are a different kind of people of a different kind of kingdom. And they will want to be part of that kingdom. And who knows, they may come to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this passage of Scripture. It is such a blessing to be reminded of who we are. Who we are as a people of God, as a people of your kingdom. And why, Lord, this kingdom is now on earth through Christ and Christ coming into our hearts. And someday, Lord, you will bring the kingdom to fulfillment with a new heaven and a new earth, a transformed universe. And we're looking forward to that day, but in the meantime, Lord, help us to walk faithfully as a people of the kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.